Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here to kick off another week with some fun Disney talk. Listener Ryan is standing by to share his amazing Disney vacation with us here in just a second. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Planning a trip to the happiest place on earth? Share your love for your favorite mouse with the Running Buddy's new Disney Luxe Travel Collection. They offer a variety of products like Mickey and Minnie Mouse backpacks, purses, magnetic hands-free buddy pouches, and much more. You even get a free Disney pin with each purchase. Also, as a special gift to the Be Our Guest podcast listeners, use the code BEOURGUEST for 10% off at checkout. Check them out today over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at TouringPlans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of cronuts over at Epcot, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1469 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope that this Monday does find you well, that you had a great weekend, and that we're settling in for a very productive, and let's just face it, an awesome week by kicking it off with some fun Disney talk. And we've got a lot of Disney destinations to talk about today. I'm super excited. We're heading out west to the islands, to the Pacific. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Ryan's joining us from out in Indiana today. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you on the show. We got to meet last summer out in at the Indy Disney meet. So I was glad to meet your son out there, and it was a great opportunity to take a picture. And for the folks that have never made an Indy Disney meet, kind of sum that up for them, like what the experience is like, because I hope a lot of folks go this September.
It is kind of like a travel agent convention, family reunion, swap meet, all kind of put into one building.
It is. I mean, it's like you found your people, basically, is what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. We were first timers last meeting, and I have to tell you, it's a little overwhelming at first until you get your bearings straight.
Totally is. And, you know, I've been there for a few years, but not since the beginning. I know a lot of people have been there since it was very, very tiny. Basically, just a few Disney friends getting together for some pizza at like a miniature golf type family fun place. And it's expanded to this huge room in this fairgrounds in Hamilton County, Indiana. And it really is really neat. It's got a home feel because it's almost like a potluck. People bring, you know, dishes and we order pizza, but we have some big names from the Disney community come out now. And, you know, the 501st bring their stormtroopers and Jedi and droids. And it's just an amazing day. And the best thing is, those great folks raise a lot of money for Give Kids the World. So it was great seeing you out there, and I hope a lot of people can make it this September.
Yeah. The 501st, that was a real draw for us, and that was exciting to see all the different costumes and the droids and whatnot.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, let's jump into the trip report. That's what folks are here for, but I hope you do make it out there in September. We'll have lots more details coming up on that throughout this year. But we're talking Alani here to kick off the show. So, you know, a lot of folks probably never been out there. I know I haven't yet. My wife keeps nudging me now that Southwest flies to Hawaii. She sent me like 7 texts the day that they got their clearance to fly to Hawaii. Like, it's time. I'm like, well, we'll see. So not that I don't want to go, but it's like, here's the question I have. Here's why I haven't gone. I'll be honest with you. So maybe you can help me with this.
Sure.
You're a big Walt Disney World fan. You're just a Disney fan. As much as I see Alani and I work with it and I know that it's going to be a great experience when I get out there, I feel like I just can't sacrifice that chunk of time that I could go to Walt Disney World to go to Alani because there's so much to do at World. I worry that I would feel, am I missing something out there? I mean, do you think that's a common fear for folks?
Yeah, you know, I understand. And you know, we really, it was my wife and I that went. We went on a couples trip last January. And we kind of did the opposite. We are the quintessential Disney planners. 180 days, you know, out, we're making plans, we have spreadsheets, whatnot. And we just wanted to take a completely different trip. And we just wanted to go and relax and enjoy the resort. So we really kind of forced ourselves to spend as much time at the resort as we possibly could. We did some day trips and some sightseeing at Oahu, and I'll talk about that. But the resort, Mike, is just, it's unreal. The pictures don't do it justice. The YouTube clips don't do it justice. It's just, it's an amazing, amazing place. And I was able to unwind. We were both able to relax, and the pools became our parks, if you will, for the time that we were there. I think I went around the Lazy River probably about 50 times. It was just an amazing place.
That's so good to hear, because I think we all need to, you know, to slow down on our Disney vacations. And I think that's probably when I get out there. I'm not going to say if, because I am going to get out there, especially now that Southwest flies out there. You know, it's one of those things that that's what I like about cruising, is that there's a very finite amount of things to do. While everything is amazing and a lot of fun, it just doesn't feel as infinite as Walt Disney World. It just feels like you're never going to do it all. You're tempted to do everything. So that sounds like a great perk to me. So you found that it was kind of what a Disney vacation should be, but you just don't get down at World.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of Disney with relaxation. You know, I've never really had a time at Disney where I've just taken advantage of the resorts that I've stayed at for a full day, and it really felt like that's what it could be. You know, you're relaxing, and you see Stitch walking around, and you see Mickey walking around, and you know they actually play Disney songs in the Hawaiian language in the elevators. You know, so there's definitely that sense of Disney, but it's just a completely different environment. Okay, it's amazing.
Let's get down to some of the nuts and bolts. Sure. So you're from Indiana. So what's the travel like? You know, from the Midwest, from the continental United States, getting over to Hawaii. Was it a challenge? Was it easier than you thought? What'd you think?
It was a challenge. I mean, I've been to Europe several times, and for anybody that's done that, it kind of felt that way. You know, we left early in the morning. We flew out of Indianapolis through Denver, and then got to Honolulu. We got there at what was there 4 in the afternoon, but it was a 5-hour difference in January. So you know, it was 9 o'clock our clocks. And I'll tell you, in doing it again, and I'm planning another trip right now, I would never get to Honolulu at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I've lived in big cities and I've never seen traffic like that in my life.
I've heard that. I've heard it's crazy out there.
Oh, it is bumper to bumper. And, you know, you get to this tropical island and you're ready to relax, and you realize I've got to get through this traffic, you know, for the next hour or so as quickly as I can so I can get to Aulani. And so we picked up our rental car. We got through the traffic, and it was bumper to bumper, slow going until you got out of the city center of Honolulu. And as soon as you turned off the highway to get into Ko'olina, which is where Aulani was, and it was like you were in a completely different world. It was like, it was completely relaxing. You could see the towers of Aulani about 10 miles away, and you just kept getting more excited and excited. And as crazy as Honolulu was, Ko'olina and Aulani were completely opposite. Just a tranquil, relaxing place.
So what you just said very much reminds me of my experience with Disney Cruise Line. You know, as you're driving over to the coast, you're coming up on Port Canaveral, and off in the distance, you know, you're really excited because you know you're going on a cruise, but then, you know, you can see off in the distance, oh, is that two red funnels? You know, and then you know that's one of the cruise ships you're going to be getting on. Sounds like you had the same kind of anticipation and excitement for your arrival at Aulani. So walk us through when you pull up and, you know, first impressions, your room, arrival process. Give us all that.
Right. Well, you're dead exhausted, and you I'm making this sound great. You know, you're dead exhausted. You're pulling your luggage up, actually kind of up a slope from the parking garage. And right there is a greeter that's ready with a lei. My wife got a flower lei that was made out of real flowers. I got one that was made out of like some sort of nut. And they hand you a flavored water, and it was just all of a sudden you just completely relax. And we were there celebrating our anniversary. They already knew that. They had buttons for us. And so the check-in process was seamless. It was fast, and it was very welcoming from the second we were there. We're DVC members, so we did choose to stay in a DVC studio, and we did decide to pay a little extra money or use extra points for the ocean view. And again, coming from Indiana, coming from January in Indiana, we wanted to see that ocean as much as we possibly could. For us, it was worth every point. I totally understand. You know, I get on the Facebook pages. I understand people are trying to save points where they can, save money. And if it came down to not being able to go for a number of nights, I would sacrifice the ocean view. But it was worth every single penny to be able to wake up, sit on my balcony, drink coffee. And I could see dolphins in the distance. I could see whales in the distance. It was an amazing way to spend my time. So we were high up, on the 15th floor overlooking the ocean. And then you get in and you can kind of relax a little bit. The first thing we did was we were really hungry. Like I said, it felt like by that point it felt like it was about midnight. By our clocks. And so we went down to the Olelo room, which is their bar lounge there, and had some happy hour hors d'oeuvres and a drink and listened to the music. And then all of a sudden you look around and you're like, oh my God, I'm in Hawaii. I'm at Aulani. This is crazy.
Yeah. You're not all of a sudden, I'm not at the Polynesian
in
Central Florida. I'm actually in Hawaii.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It very much felt that way. And then you're ready to go to bed.
I can imagine, because I would think that.
I mean, the one thing I will say about Aulani is it kind of shuts down early. I mean, there's not a lot going on in the later evening. They have music and they have happy hour drinks and different things like that at the bar. But it really it shuts down quite early. Once it gets dark. And the pools close, there's not a lot going on. And really coming with the jet lag, you know, from east to west, that works out okay.
Yeah, and I would imagine, too, it's really, even though you're exhausted, you're just, like, probably at the same time amped up, you know, kind of like I am at Walt Disney World on arrival when I get in, like, on a very late flight. You know, like, I'm just wiped. You know, my body's wiped. I'm getting a headache. I'm just exhausted. Yet, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've been looking forward to this for 9 months, and I'm here.
Right.
I can't sleep. I want to go do something. So, yeah, it's a tough call.
Yeah, so that second day, I mean, we just kind of got our bearings straight. And like I said, we tried to plan it so that we could spend as much time at the resort as we possibly could. Every day there's a daily Iwa, which is kind of like on the cruise lines where they have activities and different things. They might have tours going on or different classes and stuff. So we took advantage of some of those things. There's a wonderful walking path that goes all along the lagoons. There's four lagoons on that side of Oahu. And so you can walk all along that, and people were jogging, people were walking, you're walking right along the ocean. So for us, that was a good way to start most of our days. You know, we take our mug of coffee down there and relax. We did decide to get the drink mugs. They have drink mugs like all the other resorts at Disney World. And that was really nice. I hear now they have Coke Freestyle machines there, which will make it even nicer for our next trip. And really what my wife and I would do is we would just kind of hop around the different pools. We'd spend a few hours laying by this pool. We go to another place. We'd go upstairs for lunch. I mean, it was just a really relaxing start to our day or to our trip. Absolutely.
Everybody I've talked to that's gone to Aulani, though, it sounds to me very much like the cruise experience. You know, it's very laid back. You grab your coffee, you walk around, you go get, you know, you go to different pools on the ship. You can go to do activities. You can exercise. You can see a show. You know, there's just there's very much kind of the it sounds like very common programming, which I think, you know, Disney does very, very well. I think that's where they excel, is in the options, how they can entertain their guests, but also immerse the guests in the culture and the experiences they're having.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me talk about a couple of the highlights at the resort, and then I'll talk about a couple of the day trips that we took. As far as at the resort, you know, a couple of the things that we really enjoyed, we went to the character breakfast twice. We were only planning on going once. It's at the Makahiki, and the food was just amazing. All the fresh fruit and the different pastries and kind of the Hawaiian twist on the different things that we actually reserved a second day for the last day while we were there. The character interaction was really good, and it was just an amazing experience. So I would definitely recommend that. We did go to the luau that was at Alani, and that was hands down amazing. The only experience I've had with that is I've gone twice to the luau at the Polynesian, and no comparison whatsoever. It was just the acting and the singing and the dancing was just amazing. And we did pay extra for the VIP seating. And basically what that gets you is you get into the area a little earlier. There's different activities going on before the dinner. So you might do Hawaiian tattoos, or you might help make the poi. Yeah, the poi paste. You might do different braiding or things like that. For us there, that was nice, but for us there was the bar was open, which was very nice. And then also we had VIP seating. So we were literally in the first row to watch the luau. I'm going to talk about a trip in a little bit where we're going to take my parents and kids back. My parents don't really drink. The kids are adults with Disney prices. So we're not going to do the VIP again, although we are going to do the luau. We did go into a couple's massage, and that was amazing. They have a really nice spa there at Alani. And one of the things that we really tried to do was carve out enough time for that. I would say we were probably at the spa for 3 hours, and had an hour long massage, but they have, different showers there. They have like a jacuzzi hot tub that you can use. They have a lounge where you can relax with snacks and drinks. And so that was really nice. And that was a good relaxing thing. And then one of our favorite things as a DVC member, we signed up for the chef demonstration, and they do that, one afternoon a week. And the pastry chef actually taught us, how to make macaroons, the French cookie. And that was really neat to listen to his different techniques. Both my wife and I really like to cook. And it was neat to see how to do that. And obviously, since it's Disney, they feed you about 17 macaroons while you're sitting yes. there for the 45 minutes. So everybody leaves happy and with a sugar buzz. But that was a really neat experience. And when we go again in May, they have for DVC, they have a mixology class with the bartenders. And I think I might try that out.
No, I'm just saying you got to do that. I do that every cruise. That's so, and it sounds again so much like a cruise, because would you say, because it sounds like you guys took a couple excursions away mm-hmm. from Alani, because when I go to Hawaii, I want to go see, I know it's kind of hard to get there, but I want to go see Pearl Harbor, obviously, because I don't know if I'll be back, just certain things I want to see, Kilauea maybe, I don't know, but is there enough that you could stay there for say 4 or 5 nights and they keep you busy enough if you want to be busy with activities that you're going to be fine to never leave their property?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, there were certainly things that we could do. There's a DVC room there with different options for guests. They have meet and greets and games and activities. And beyond DVC, they have these mekahunes, which is you see them at the Polynesian too. They're like the little mischievous creatures in the Hawaiian culture, in the Polynesian culture. And they have what's called a Metahune Trail, and you can go around and you can make different things happen. Like they give you an iPad, and you go up and you touch the screen and something happens. And so there's different little things like that you can do too. One thing I didn't mention was they also have Dole Whips there. So that's if you want to get your fix there, you can do that. There's totally enough to do. That you could stay at the resort for several days and not grow tired of it at all. I mean, and also the beach is right there. I didn't even mention that. You've got numerous pools. You've got a lazy river. You've got two water slides. Multiple hot tubs, and then you've got the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, the biggest ocean on our planet. This is right there too. We haven't even talked about that. We're 18 minutes in.
So the long answer is absolutely. It is a wonderful place. Right across the street from Alani is now the one thing I will say, and I agree with this, that people do complain about Alani is there's not a lot of options to eat there on property, especially if you're staying multiple days. And some of those options are very expensive. We did try, like we did Ama Ama and we did the sit down. We did some quick service meals and things like that. And they were all very good. But there's not a lot there right at the resort. But there's several resorts right next to Alani that would have dinners. And we went over next door and had happy hour hors d'oeuvres one night. Across the street is a shopping center. And there's a wonderful restaurant called Monkey Pod there. I'm sure if you've worked with guests, you've heard them talk about Monkey Pod. Mm-hmm. They have great pizza specials, different things. I know there's a taco place. So there's a lot of different options, you know, right around the Colina area, all within walking distance. You would never need to drive over there.
So what would you say, because we're going to talk about a couple other things before we get out of here today. So looking back, first of all, one question I have, you guys went mm-hmm. in January. I mean, that's a great time to escape the Northeast, the Midwest, you know, most places in the United States. Is that the go-to time to go out? You're going in May this time. I know when I go to Florida, I love like that shock of going down in January where it's below zero in St. Louis and you land and it's 65 or 70 in Florida. Did you feel that was the best time to go in January, but you're going in May now? What do you think?
Yeah. You know, and it was just circumstance that May worked out for us. I had a change in my job schedule. So we were able to get away in January when we normally wouldn't be able to. But I thought it was a great time. The resort did not seem busy at all. I know people complain about the resort being busy in the summertime around holidays. I did not feel that at all in January. I thought it was a great time.
What I'm excited too about is, you know, I've heard that, you know, Alani is super popular with the Japanese tourists. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited for that because I think, you know, being stuck in the Midwest, I don't, you know, get to go many international places myself. And I would find that very interesting and exciting, you know, to get to kind of intermingle with not only the Polynesian culture, but also, you know, the Japanese culture folks that are there. And it just seems very, really exotic to me, which is, I love the Polynesian, but this is the real thing.
Yeah, I would say a lot of folks from Japan, a lot of guests from South Korea, a lot of guests from Australia. It's very international, and that's represented in the food. You know, I mentioned the breakfast buffet, and there were certainly international options on the breakfast buffet. I want to talk about one day trip real quick. We did one afternoon. We went up to the North Shore. Which, you know, Alani is on the lagoons. It's very calm. It's very tranquil. The North Shore is big, bad waves, big surfing place. And we went up to a place called Haliva, which if you've heard of Turtle Bay, if you've heard of the Bonsai Pipeline, that's kind of that area there. Just a very different feel. Haliva Town is a place for great shopping. One of the things to do there is to go to the shrimp trucks. We went to Giovanni's and I had shrimp. My wife's allergic to shellfish, so she watched me eat shrimp. And it was, you know, it was amazing. It's just one of those things that you hear about a lot when you talk about Oahu. And I would highly recommend that as a day trip from Alani. And then the second day trip that I would recommend is we took the morning and went over. And hiked up Diamond Head and then drove up the coast on the east side of the island all the way up to what was called the Valley of the Temples, which is actually a recreated Japanese temple. I was kind of a Lost fan when the TV show Lost was on and some of the scenes were filmed there at the Japanese temple. You're driving around in Hawaii and all of a sudden there's an authentic looking Japanese temple right there in the middle of Hawaii. That was neat that was certainly neat to see. So again, we tried not to get away too much from the resort, but those were two places that we really enjoyed seeing.
So we're going to get into a little bit of Walt Disney World here talk mm-hmm. right next, but let me ask you this one thing. So you were there and you did some day trips, which again, I would want to do because who knows how long it would be till I get back to Hawaii. So if you had like the, you know, the time off of work, and I know that's hard for everybody, but what would be the optimal amount of time to be at Alani, to be able to do a couple day trips, two or three, maybe to see the, you know, the things that are important to you, but also kind of get a full experience without getting bored at Alani, you know?
Well, were there from a Thursday to Friday, and that felt about right. We had 2 days where we were pretty much away from the resort for most of the day. And then our last day after breakfast, we checked out and drove over to Waikiki because that was closer to the airport and spent time over in that area. But the rest of the time we tried to stay at the resort, and that felt like a good amount of time.
Sounds good to me. Because once I go over there, I want to stay a little while. You know, it's like, you know, my grandma used to say, take your coat off and stay a while. You know, that's...
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, it's probably like the cruising. You say you don't know if you'll get back. And we're planning on going in May for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And we were talking about what we wanted to do. And we were talking about different cruises, different trips, things like that. And I think it took about 16 hours of us being at Alani. And we both knew that we were bringing them back. Here, it's an addictive place. Once you go once, you're going to find a way to go back.
Oh, I got you, brother. Because I was, you know, my first cruise. Like, this is fun. I don't know if I'll ever come back. Yeah, and I have the Platinum Disney Cruise Line magnet on the fridge. So yeah, it obviously was addictive. All right, so let's hop into World here and talk about your trip back in January. You took the whole family down. So tell us about the crew and some of the highlights from that trip for those folks that want to hear a little Walt Disney World to get through their week.
Yeah. So, we went down for my son's birthday. One of the things that we did, my daughter is 12. And so for her 10th birthday, we told her that she could decide on a trip. And she wanted to go to New York City. And so my wife and her went to New York City. So when it was Caleb, my son's 10th birthday, we said, okay, where do you want to go? And he first said Chicago. And we thought, well, Chicago in January, we can do that anytime. Let's not do that. Where else do you want to go?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I want to go to Disney World. We said, well, we can certainly do that. So we went down for pretty much a long weekend in January to celebrate his birthday and had a really good time and did a lot of new experiences, which, again, you know, we go to Disney quite a bit. We're super fans. And so it was fun to try some different things that we hadn't done before.
So tell me about you mentioned you guys are super fans, and I think a lot of families that are listening today can relate, and a lot of families do listen to the podcast together, which is one of my favorite things about the show. You know, when Disney's central, kind of a central theme in your family, like it is with ours, is it something you talk about over dinner all the time, or like, I saw this commercial, I want to try this, or, you know, Galaxy's Edge got announced, is there buzz in your house for that? Like, what's that like in your house, being all Disney fans?
All the time. in fact... you know, we'll be talking about trips and our kids will just look at us and say, are we really doing this? Or are you just talking about this? Because we'll kind of roll the dice sometimes. Well, we could take this trip. Well, we could do this trip. Well, what do you think about trying this? And so we're constantly talking about stuff. And yeah, we are raising Disney travel pros. there's no doubt about that. You know, it's tonight my wife and I were talking about a summer trip, and I said, you realize this is going to be the third dessert party we've taken our kids to in a year. I think they're going to get a little spoiled.
I know, we got to be careful of that. I'm the same way. You know, it's like, it's so strange because we live in an area where most of the kids that live around us that Mallory interacts with, honestly, still most of the kids have never been to Walt Disney World in their life. You know, they're lucky if they get to go to Six Flags, you know, and she was like 6 or 7. It was kind of hard to explain that to her, you know, with her kindergarten friends and her first grade friends. She thought that, you know, every kid goes down to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, or, you know, like, oh yeah, we got to go down for Marathon that weekend. That's what everybody's family does, you know, and it's not like that. They just see it on TV. But you're right. I mean, I think it's fun though to have that, you know, kind of good, wholesome thing to talk about that's exciting. It's always changing, so there's always lots to talk about. And as your kids are kind of getting at that age, you know, 12, 10, that range, are they involved now in the planning? Do they, because it was Caleb's 10th birthday. I mean, did he have a lot of say in the trip?
Well, certainly, you know, we started by saying you're not going to get to plan everything, but you can certainly plan a couple things. And for him, he's a huge Star Wars nut. And so we did a couple Star Wars focused things. We did the Star Wars dessert party at Hollywood Studios. That was a great experience. We had done the fireworks dessert party at Magic Kingdom and really enjoyed that. But the Star Wars dessert party, I felt the Star Wars dessert party was a better experience. I felt the nighttime show at the Magic Kingdom was better overall. But for a Star Wars fan, I mean, having the projections of the different movies and the scenes up on the Chinese theater was a really cool thing. And we got to do The Void, which was something that I've been eager to do since I started reading about it. And so my daughter and son and I one morning went over and did The Void, and that was unbelievable, Mike. It was such a cool experience. It's one of those things where the only way you can explain it is it feels like it's real. You know, you look down at your hand, and I'm sure you've seen the video clips, the YouTube clips. You know, you look down at your hand, and you're a stormtrooper. You look over at your daughter, and she's a stormtrooper. And all of a sudden, people are shooting at you, and you can feel it. And you have to run away and shoot at them, and you have to do all these different tasks. It was just absolutely amazing.
So from what I know of that, you know, and I haven't done this yet. I've been very curious about it, but it's one of those things like, I'll do it if I have time, and I always run out of time, and I'm like, save me a little money, you know, because I'm kind of, sure. I'm a tightwad sometimes. But I listen to a lot of tech podcasts and watch, mm-hmm. you know, Twit and stuff like that. And Jason Howell was, when Ready Player One came out, mm-hmm. he came to a place where they did a demo where he was walking on basically a treadmill, but it goes in every single direction. It's not just omnidirectional like a typical treadmill. It would somehow, and I don't know exactly the physics of this, but you know, if you walked at a 45-degree angle, it would somehow adjust to that on the fly. And it was all virtual reality, though, because he was wearing the visor, and what he saw was reacting to the treadmill and all that. So I have to believe, and you know, I think that you're a huge Disney fan. You get this, that say 5 years down the line, this is something that may be a standard Walt Disney World attraction rather than an add-on kind of plus thing to do at Disney Springs.
I sure hope so, because it was a really cool experience. I would be tempted, you know, I realize there's a price associated with it, but when we go again in the summer, I would certainly be tempted to do it again. And they have a Wreck-It Ralph version too. I'm not as interested in that. I enjoy the movies, but I would certainly, after doing The Void, the Star Wars version, I would be more up for doing the Wreck-It Ralph because of having that experience. I would say in January, probably our favorite family activity, and this wasn't something that Caleb chose, but he certainly enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it as a family, was we went to Hoop-Dee-Doo Review for the first time.
Yes.
That was absolutely amazing. The food was really good. The entertainment was outstanding. It was a fun night from the get-go. We really enjoyed that meal.
I think that everybody who is a big Disney fan, and if you're listening today, yes, that I'm pointing right now to you, because you're listening to a Disney podcast for the most part, unless you're just a first-timer who stumbled on us, but 99% of our audience. If you haven't done Hoop-Dee-Doo, you really need to get over there. For one thing, it's kind of historical. It's been there since Walt Disney World has been there. But it is like stepping back in time. It's very wholesome. It's very folksy. And the food is, for me, again, being from Missouri, chicken and strawberry shortcake and potatoes and corn. I mean,
yeah,
you can't
good,
mess that
good
up.
Comfort
it's good
food,
stuff.
That's
yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys, the kids got it. The kids liked it too then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they thought it was great. We all went away really happy, nice. that we had chosen to do that. I try since we go pretty often, I really, you know, we tried to spend time doing our favorites, but we always want to make sure we try a couple things that are really different, you know, that we haven't done before. And so I kind of keep a list of, you know, okay, next time we go, let's do this. And Hoop-Dee-Doo had always been up there on my list after learning about it. And it had never made the cut. And so we put it down and we did it this time. And it was just, I'm really glad we did it. It was a phenomenal experience.
Agreed. So now you guys are DVC. So do you typically stay at the DVC properties exclusively, or do you hop outside?
And actually in January was our first time staying at Polynesian. And that was a real neat experience. Unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate. You know, we had one afternoon where, being from Indiana, we were able to use the pool. I think if you lived anywhere south of that, you wouldn't have tempted to do that. But that was really neat. I remember the last day we were there, it was pretty cold. It was the weekend that Ricky had gone, and it rained
yes.
so hard that one day. That was the day we actually left. So we avoided that. But we were there and it was cold, and I was walking through the resort and I'm like, I'm going to get a Dole Whip. I don't care that I'm cold. I don't care that I have a sweatshirt and a jacket on. I'm getting a Dole Whip because we're here.
Well, because the worst thing is to get back to Indiana and be like, man, I should have had that Dole Whip. I totally missed the opportunity.
But yeah, we tend to stay at DVC resorts. The Boardwalk is our favorite. And so that's where we tend to stay. We were lucky enough. My wife last summer, my wife had a conference over at the beach club. And that was our first time over there with the pool, and some pixie dust was sprinkled on us. And we were, for whatever reason, we were upgraded to the concierge level at beach club. And let me tell you, that was a hard way to spend a couple days.
Oh man. I did that one night, like probably about 7 or 8 years ago, and it spoiled us since.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. Very cool. So you enjoyed the kids had to have been out of their mind. Well, were the kids there for that trip with the storm along?
Yes. Bay? Yeah. The kids were there last summer. And so we all enjoyed the club level and the amenities with that. But you know, the storm along Bay was amazing. You know, I like I said, we tend to like Boardwalk, and I certainly want to go back there, but storm along Bay was a really cool experience.
So you guys, a family, when you're at Walt Disney World, you're up and at them, you know, rope drop and, yeah, you know, stay until the park closes. You come back and take a break to enjoy the resort.
No, we tend to do, we're almost exclusively rope drop. You know, we really try to get up and get going and plan our day. But I would say by mid afternoon, we kind of do what you do. We take a break, take a breather. Whether that's just transitioning to a different park and taking a break, on the way there, whether that's hopping in the pool. So we kind of have a morning routine through lunch, and then an evening routine. But we may go to another park if we have Park Hopper or our annual pass, or head over to Disney Springs. As the kids are getting older, that's easier to do. You know, they're up for more to do in the evening than they have been in the past. So we've been able to take advantage, especially of Park Hoppers and, you know, maybe even being in three parks in a day.
Oh man, I think, see, the kids are getting older and getting more stamina. I'm getting older and I'm losing my stamina.
You're getting less. Yeah.
I do four parks in a day one time every year. It's called the marathon. That's the only time I'm making it, man. I can't do it anymore. I feel like I'm not, I still see myself as like 20, but man, there's nothing like theme park tired. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely. I do.
Oh my gosh. All right. So as we wrap up here, let me ask you this, because you know, this has been a lot of fun. I mean, it's gone way too quickly. What is it about the Disney destinations for you? Obviously, you're bought in, your DVC. You know, you've gone to Alani. You go to Walt Disney World frequently. You went to the Indie Disney meet. But kind of like in the big picture, you know, we're looking at it, you know, kind of holistically. Why Disney? Why is it so central in your family? Because I like asking this of our listeners to kind of get to know them a little better. Because, you know, why Disney podcasts and the whole Disney idea? What is it that keeps you coming back?
Well, I think for us, you know, the first time we went when the kids were much younger, it was just really to kind of try it and see. You know, both my wife and I had been to Disney when we were younger. I had never stayed on property before. And so I had gone and enjoyed it, but it was always kind of something we did on other trips. And so when we decided to go when the kids were younger, I kind of had a thought, well, I'm either going to come away and say, never again am I ever coming to this place, or I'm going to come back as quickly as possible. And the first day we were there, we fell in love with it. I can tell you the exact moment that we fell in love with it. We were in Enchanted Tales with Belle, and my son, who, gosh, at the time was probably 4, was chosen to be the Beast. And he was sitting there dancing with the actress who was playing Belle. And I looked over at my wife, and she just had this look on her face of just absolute joy that she's watching her son dance around with a cape on and all that. And I thought, oh my goodness, here goes all of our money. And we just, every year, you know, we just build more and more memories where it's, like you said, it's become part of our family culture. It's become part of our experiences together. You know, watching our kids grow up and having those experiences at Disney, it's really enriched our lives as parents and as a family.
That's exactly what I was going for. That story at Enchanted Tales, you know, because there is always that thing that just, you know, it you can't put a finger on it really, but I mean, it's that memory that's just burned in your mind. You'll go back to that forever. And for me, I mean, as weird as it was, I didn't have kids at the time. I was just down there with some friends. But it was just, you know, arriving at French Quarter at night in that canopy. There's just a bunch of lights kind of in a canopy where the bus drops you off. Or we had a town car at the time. They let us out and they had jazz music playing. Mm-hmm. You walk down those little simulated streets to get to your room. And just like, it was so immersive. And right. I had really never gone on vacation. Like, I was just like, I could, like, my jaw dropped, and it hasn't. I don't think I've picked my jaw up since that time, because it's that immersive. It's that fun.
No, you're absolutely right. And for us, you know, we get that standard question from folks. Well, you're going to Disney again? Why are you, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you going all the way to Hawaii and going to a Disney resort? And it's because every time we go, just like I explained with the January trip, there's new experiences. It's never the same trip. We're always eating at different places. We're always having new experiences. It's just Disney allows you to have those lifelong experiences and have the same vacation that's completely different every time.
Oh man, they need to put that on a bumper sticker right there.
I'll trademark that. Yeah.
Yeah, put it on the back of the buses or something. Yeah, it's awesome. Well, Ryan, I know you guys are heading down this summer about the same time we're taking the podcast cruise. I hope to run into you down in Central Florida. And when you get back, we'll have to talk about that trip, because I'm sure Caleb will have lots more stories.
Hey, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on the show, and enjoy your week. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right, don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They've been keeping you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and Universal vacations. They've been doing it for a decade. They're going to do it for you. And I'm telling you what, come August 29th, it's going to be your best friend. I'm just telling you. So check them out over at touringplans.com. And of course, our friends over at therunningbuddy.com are sponsoring today's show as well. If you're a runner, I'm telling you, you need the Buddy Pouch. This is what I use to hold my iPhone XS Max. It's a big dog. Doesn't jiggle. It stays safe and secure, and it does not bother you at all while you're running. I've been using this thing for over 6 years, way before they were sponsors. I believe in this thing. It's so simple. It's this little pouch, magnetic, right there on your belt line. So check them out over at therunningbuddy.com. Use the code word BeOurGuest at checkout for 10% off. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod, and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for starting another week with us here on the show. I can't thank you enough for that. We love it each and every time you tune in. So for Ryan, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.